I don't know about the rest of you, but I am getting real tired of hearing about the corruption and violence in our world. I was shocked last night to once again watch the news and see another senseless attack on innocent people. Not only was a driver of a vehicle plowing into people on the London Bridge, but a van full of people jumped out with knives and just started stabbing people for no reason. All those three people that were stabbing others, the London police killed, took their lives for trying to inflict harm on others. The driver of the car was apprehended and probably not treated very well, but that's just one attack. And there have been numerous attacks, and not just in London, but all over, in the United States as well, all over our world. There are children who are being used as shields. Those who provoke others to action in war, and then they turn around and use children as shields and then declare that those that have retaliated have killed innocent lives. Well, they put those innocent lives in the way on purpose. The more that we hear about this stuff, it not only grieves me, but I'm sure that it grieved Noah in his day. And that's who we're going to talk about today. We're in a sermon series called The Journey. And if none of you understand what that is or you've not seen it, there's some postcards in the back. It talks about the journey and that faith is the journey. In fact, there are posters right here on our walls that talk about what faith is. It talks about people being on the journey, and it's basically man's faith and God's will combined with being the journey. And that's what God invites you to be a part of in your life. He invites you to be part of his journey here on this earth, to be his ambassadors, if you will. And that's exactly what Noah was being in Noah's day. Now, you got to imagine, this is only 10 generations away from the very beginning of life on earth. 10 generations away from life on earth. And now, if you go back and you look at the genealogies and you see how many years that life on earth was about, I mean, we're talking about people that lived 700, 800, 900 years. But this is the very beginning of life. And Noah comes in the 10th generation. He was the product of his father, Lamech. And Lamech, who was tired of the toil of the earth, named his son Noah, which means comfort or ease. Lamech was crying out, as all the people of the world, give me some ease, some rest from all this hard labor. How many of you would like some rest from all the hard labor? And Harry and Lenita, I do not even want to see your arms up right now. But you need rest from the heavy labors that you've been a part of. And I know it's not just Harry and Lenita. There's also others that have retired. I've been tired and tired again. Does that make me retired? By definition, maybe, but no, I'm not retired. Yet. But when the good Lord says to go, then it's time to go. But if not, I'm working. And I like working for my Lord, as did Noah. Now, this passage that we're going to read is out of Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 22. It comes from the New Living Translation, which I so enjoyed reading this narrative that Moses had written down for all of us to be able to go back and remember. I'm reading a very challenging book right now. It's called An Unchanging Faith in a Changing World. Our world is changing. Amen? I mean, how many of you were around when TVs were invented? And the first ones were black and white. And they had tubes. They didn't have all these microchips. And before that, you got your listening or your stories from radios. You know, right? There are many of us that can think back then. And then when you got your first computer, how big and lunky that thing was. And now there is more power in my cell phone than there ever was. There's more quickness in my cell phone than that first computer that I ever owned. And it's amazing to me. We are living in a world that is changing day by day by day. And yet, how can you hold on to an unchanging faith? Because you have a God who is the same yesterday as he is today, as he'll be forever. And so you put your faith in him, in a God who doesn't change. Even though man's ways may change, there's only one way to continue to go before God Almighty, and that is through the channel of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you do not come unto the Father except through him. So, the journey of Noah. Let's get to that today. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 22. Would you read this? You can read this aloud with me or just follow along. Do whatever you please right now. But we are going to read the Word of God aloud, much as it was done in Jewish observance when they read the Chronicles of God. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. And this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I'll wipe them out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls through its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. pairs of every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So it seems to be a little bit, as you read through this, didn't it seem like it was a little contradictory? That at the very beginning, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness. He saw everything that they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. And I think one of the saddest verses that we could probably read, but the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Does that tell you that having a broken heart is an experience that can be like God? You see, God can get disappointed in men. It's clear. We read it right here. Has anyone ever disappointed you? Has your heart been broken? Yeah, I would say so. I would say each and every one of us in this place have suffered from a broken heart at one time or another. Why? Well, because we have expectations out of others. And when they don't live up to those expectations, it breaks our heart. And though we don't have an ability to control that other person, what we do have the ability to do is control how we react to our hearts being broken. Amen? So here's the Lord in all of his anger. I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I'll destroy every living creature, all the people, large animals, small animals, even birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. As a parent, have you ever thought such a thing while disciplining your very disobedient child? I am sorry I have ever made them. Come on, be truthful. You know those thoughts have gone through your mind at one time or another. However, I love the turnaround because this is the whole enchilada right here. But Noah found favor with the Lord. You see, the whole world can be corrupt. It can be full of violence. But God is searching the earth to see if there are any who will follow after him, any who will be obedient to him, any who will walk with him and in his presence every day. You see, God wants you for more than just a Sunday morning. God wants you each and every day to walk with him, to talk with him. I mean, what a wonderful account of Noah and what he had the ability to do that the others around him did not partake in, right? Are there others in this world that do not partake in your relationship with God? We don't condemn them except by the way that we live. And honestly, the people of this world, the people who don't communion with God, they are condemned by the way that we live in communion with God. You see, because when you're in communion with God, trust me, people will take notice. You remember the story about the disciples? They were men of empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And the other people who didn't have such a command of God's presence said to one another, you know, these are just ordinary men. However, they have spent time with the Lord. And so there was something different about them, as there was something different about Noah and his family. Because, you see, if you are a godly, righteous leader of your home, then it will drain down, it will distill down to your family. That's what we're hoping for as grandparents. That our beliefs will trickle down to the generations after us. It's our prayer. Oh, Lord God, that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, that all of their names will be written on the Lamb's Book of Life. And that they will too will walk in fellowship with God. You see, because that's what you see down here in verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he did what? He walked in close fellowship with God. Now, people, you've got to realize, this is before Noah had a Bible. Noah did not have a Bible. But what he had was something greater. He didn't have a written word. He had the living word. And he walked and he talked with God. He had a close fellowship with God. Something that his fellow people did not have. He was the father of three sons. In verse 10, 11, God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. Could this be taken right out of our headlines of our newspaper today? I am so sick and tired of hearing of people who have a hand on monies, or have their hand on influences and use them for their own selfish gain rather than helping out others with the wealth that they have been given. It was given unto them to help distribute it to others, but instead they thought of only themselves. Oh, I sure want the latest jet that's out there so I can zoom around and show everybody that I'm trying to do a great work. And they spend it all on themselves. Violence. I don't want to keep talking about the violence, but honestly, folks, it's growing. And if you're not concerned about it, if you're not praying for an end of it, why not? Why not? Now, we know from scriptures that it says that in the end times that there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, and that even households will rise up against each other, that a son will be against his father and a daughter against her mother. We see these things happening in our world. It's time to wake up. It's time to take the blinders off and realize that the coming of Jesus Christ is sooner than what you think. And if you are awakened to that knowledge, if you're awakened to the crises, that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and at that time, there will be no one else saved on this earth, that we have a job as the church, as the believers in Jesus Christ, to take the message of Jesus Christ out to as many as we can. One of the things that we need to be aware of is that we not become just a church of maintenance, but that we become a church of outreach. Because as long as we're just a church of maintenance, well, then we're saying to the rest of the world, it's just all about us. And the rest of you lost people out there, so sad. Hope some brave Christian will take the Christian message to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope someone will reach out to them. The mandate has been given to us to go out and to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that the Lord has taught you, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and understand that the Lord will be with you even until the end of this earth. But if you do His beckoning, His work, which is to take the gospel message, does that mean we've got to go to Mexico, or we've got to go to someplace in South America, or we've got to go to Africa? No, it's right across our own street, folks. If we can't reach the people that are right around us, how can we expect to even reach other people? Oh, well, they don't know what I've been about, so I'll be accepted by them more. Sometimes it is hard ground to plow, those who really know you, huh? And see you in everyday life. It's like, are you really living out your faith? And when they see the contradiction there, then it's really hard for you to get across the message that Brother John would tell them. And what would that message be, Brother John? There you go. But if they don't see Jesus blessing your life or God blessing your life, why are they going to receive what you're living? If you're not living it successfully, if your relationship with the Lord isn't so strong that nothing can shake your foundation. Now, I am not saying that storms of life will not try to beat against your house. Oh, because they will. I know. The storms of life have been they've been beating my house really hard this week. Anybody else been feeling like there's been a stronger attack upon you and your faith? Yeah. Amen. Do the same thing that I've been doing this week. Keep going back to the truth of God's word. Keep seeking His face. Keep yourself lifted up in the hope of the truth that God speaks to you. But if you're not involving yourself in the truth of God's word and you're just trying to get out of it out of your own strength, stop it. Stop it. The only way that you're going to get out of it is to employ the truth of God's word. I know. It's the only thing that's gotten me through this week. Is the power and the truth of what God says. Though things around me are falling apart, my Lord is steady every day. And I walk with Him. Though it is dark around me, in Him there is great light. And I encourage you to do the same. Please, don't let your light go out. But stand in the victory that Jesus Christ has won for you. You see, it's, and we talked about that this morning in the prayer time. God doesn't want us walking around as victims. He's tired of declaring yourself a victim. And it's time to declare yourself as a victor. I got the victor living in me. I got the victor living in me. I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I got the victor living in me. And I will sing and I will dance. I will rejoice, for the battle is the Lord's. There's no defeat in our ranks, for the victor has won the war. God saw that the earth had become corrupt and filled with violence. He is still seeing and observing that today. However, God has issued unto us an ark. And that ark is the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's in Him that we need to find shelter. Because this world will batter you. This life will be intense. It will be rough. I'm not saying because you become a Christian that it's all rose garden petals. No. No, it's the hardest thing you'll ever be called to. But some of you only want to give it minimal effort. When what God is calling for is an all-out effort on your part, you think it was easy for Noah? All the rest of the earth, according to God's observation, that every thought, every imagination was consistently and totally evil. Do you feel like that's part of our world that we operate in today? Yeah. We'll be that patch of righteousness in a world that is falling to hell. And shore yourself up, not by yourself, but by the continuing of the fellowshipping of yourself one with another. This is a place where we come and we get bandaged up when life tries to attack us and knock us down. This is where you find strength, Bill. This is where you find strength, Rose. This is where you find strength, Danielle. Not in and by yourself, in the family of God. You come here to be built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to walk the walk that you have professed with your mouth that you wanted to walk. The world is not going to teach you how to walk with Jesus. That's why you need the church. That's why you need Bill and Diana. You need Alfredo and Amanda to be part of a group that helps encourage you all during the week, not just on Sunday mornings. We need each other, just as Noah needed his three boys to help build something that would last through the destruction of the rest of the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood. Noah was not even by a body of water. God had him building this thing out in the middle of nowhere, but where there were trees, cypress trees, close by. And can you imagine how muscly that Noah and his sons had to be? They did not have chainsaws back in those days, boys. They had to hand hew these trees. And what did they do? They waterproofed it inside and out with tar. Now, this is one place where I might have an issue with what Ken Ham has built in Kentucky. Because when I read this, account in the Word of God, that boat should look like a big black something. Full of tar. Inside and out. It should be dark. Because that's what tar is to me. Any of you ever had tar on you? Kind of tough to get off, isn't it? Yeah. But he not only built this thing out of cypress wood, but he constructed decks and stalls on its interior. I mean, this guy was into woodworking for how many years? One or two? Oh, no. 100 years every day, except the days that he took for rest. Noah was out there. Now, do you think that sometimes your work is tedious? Yeah, so do I. However, I look at Noah and I go, man, this guy did it every day for 100 years. And I'm belly aching because I'm a little bit tired. Oh, I just so need a nap. Well, take your nap and then get back up and get to work. But don't nap your life away. Get out there. Do a work. Because God has given you that ability to do that. So do it. Idle hands or what? Be careful, retired people. However, the retirees that I talk with, they kind of wonder where they ever had time for work. Because life just seems to be filled. And I get that. Because life will fill up on you. But is it filling up on the things of God? Or is it only filling up on the things of your interest? Ouch. Come on, Pastor, play nice. I am playing nice. You know what? We realize Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Let's get to work at taking the message of Jesus Christ out to our people. Let's stop playing victims. Well, I just had a rough time in life. All of us have. So get past yourself. Get out there and do things for the glory of God. Amen? So, in looking at this, that every thought or every imagination was constantly and totally evil, I ask this question. Do your thoughts gladden or sadden God's heart? Do your thoughts gladden or sadden God's heart? Because you see, really, our battle is not flesh and blood. Our battle is right here between the ears. Our battle is all right here, folks. And we've got to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what Paul exhorts us to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. It says, for the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Instead, they have spiritual significance, spiritual force behind them. But it's a lot more fun playing a victim, Pastor. You're in a battle. You're in a war. And it's for lost souls. I did a wedding yesterday. Not for anybody that goes here, but rather for a family. In fact, it's Jackie Stevens' granddaughter. And Jackie Stevens, unfortunately, had some real adverse things happen in her life that her family had to rescue her out of. But she is staying at a home right now, an adult home, not a nursing care, but just an adult home to have other people around her to interact with, and she's only been there a couple of days, and her family reports, man, she's already making friends within the complex. You know, it's like, yay, Jackie. Yay, there's victory past the death of Glenn. But she was unable, strength-wise, to come up here and take part in her granddaughter's wedding. And I don't know exactly where I was going with that. But there are sad times and there are glad times in our lives. And God brings us plenty of both. There's always balance. Amen? I mean, there are times when I've been sick, and there are times when I've been well. Times when I've been sick, what do I do? What do you do? Oh, God, please heal me. Right? And God hears from us quite often then, right? When we're sick. But when we're well, does God really hear from us? No. God doesn't hear our thanks and our praise for, wow, God, I thank you that I'm wonderfully made in your image. I thank you that I am filled with your spirit that lives within me, resides with me, so that I am never gone from your presence. Because as David wrote in Psalm 139, where can I hide from your presence, Lord? It's all around me. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep saying it until I hear some amens. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. Not in this world, but it's what I have in Jesus Christ. I have God's presence with me all times. All times. I don't have to go searching for it. He says, if I profess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that he gives me the gift of his presence being with me. Do you believe it, church? Do you believe it? Then live in it. Live in that truth. Instead of living out of your own strength, your own abilities, live in the power of God's presence in you. Stop being a victim. It doesn't do God's kingdom any good. Amen? So, do your thoughts gladden or sadden God's heart? We've got to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And again, you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, and learn about this battle that you are in a spiritual way. Another question that kind of came up to me is, as I was going through this passage, what was God's one redeeming hope during the corruption and violence of Noah's time? What was God's one redeeming hope during all that? It's in verse 8. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Is God finding favor in you? Now, what does that mean? It means, is God finding someone in you who is faithful, who is steadfast? Or are you letting the seas of this life just wish you about here and wish you about there, and your feelings and your emotions are all in charge instead of staying true to the rock of the truth of God's word? Because feelings and emotions will do this to you. But we're to be led by the truth of God's word. That's what keeps us on the tracks. I'm not saying don't have feelings and emotions. God gave those to you, but do not let them rule in your life. Let the truth of God's word rule in you. So what was the one redeeming hope? That there were people. There was a person in Noah's time. But today he looks down in a world so full of corruption and so full of violence, and he's looking for more Noahs. Are you going to be a Noah? You think it was easy for Noah to go to work every day and build a boat? With all of his neighbors going, come on, fool, what's the matter with you? There ain't no lake around here. The river's not even big enough for you to float that thing in. What are you doing? Dude, come on. Let's party. Come on, man. Hey, a new hot chick just moved into town. Let's go check her out. You see, because they didn't have pornography back in those days on the internet, to where men now go and search by themselves. And I know that this might be a disgusting fact, but half the men in this room look at pornography, according to statistics. And if you're one of those men, you need to get right with the Lord. Because God's looking for a redeeming hope in today's population. Is that hope you? Three driving forces in man that matter to God are what? Three driving forces in man that matter to God are what? You'll find them at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But these three remain. Come on. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's what God is looking for within you. Your faith? Are you keeping your faith alive? And are you keeping your faith alive by meeting with others? You see, because we really don't know what we know until we actually talk with others and start sharing it, what it is that we think we know. Right? That's what I love about Eric. Eric is on this ascension to get together with all sorts of people who declare to know the Word of God. And they get together and they share their ideas with one another. How often are you meeting together with others to discuss the Word of God? And if you're not, why not? Why? Why do you detach yourself and think that somehow you're going to get smarter in God's Word by yourself? I didn't. When I started really seeking after the Lord, when He had called me and said, you know what, God, Don, I want you, I sought the mentoring of those who were in God's Word and who knew it. I didn't do it alone. And neither will you. You can have some success, but honestly, folks, look around. Do you detect that there's anybody in this room that is out to harm you? Honestly, is there anyone in this room that you think is out to harm you? Then why not become friends? Why not get together and study the Word of God together? I don't know. Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. This week's homework: pray for and study the meaning of faith. Pray for that this church will stand up in their faith a lot more, and that we'll understand the meaning of faith. And saying church, church, that's you. For we are all the church. We comprise this body. Just saying. Isaiah chapter 53. Get yourself ready for taking communion right now. Start preparing your heart and your mind for this. Surely He took up our infirmities and He carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the sin of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so He did not open His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, and who can speak of His descendants, for He was cut off from the land of the living. for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, with those who last through the battle. Amen. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Loving Heavenly Father, it's time to get real serious with you right now. Lord, you and you alone, no one else in this room knows my sin like you do. No one else knows where I have fallen and been short of bringing glory to you. But as your servant said, search me and know me and see if there is any evil desire within me, any evil thought, and cleanse me. Cleanse me by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. But let me not take lightly that sacrifice that was done for me that would make me righteous before you, God, that would make me holy, that would make me be without sin as far as you are concerned. Lord, I need your forgiveness. You know where I've fallen. You know what's broken in me. Jesus, thank you for paying the price. I exalt you, Jesus. I thank you for the suffering that you went through on my account. And now I want to live in the power and in the victory that you have assured for me. And I want to declare before you, my Father, before you, my Savior, the one who was afflicted for me, and before your Spirit, which convicts me of when I am wrong in front of you, and before my fellow congregants, I want to declare the body and the blood of Jesus Christ in my life and the power that is contained within me as I partake. Let your strength, let your glory, let your righteousness and your holiness fill me as I partake of this bread and this juice that represents your blood. I declare to you today, you are my Lord.